Good morning. Glad to worship with you today. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The title of the sermon today is taken from an amazing commencement speech given by our own Josie Tidmore. She used a brilliant phrase, grace and grit. Grace and grit. Well, there it is. I Google searched grace and grit, that phrase, and discovered that it's a title of a country song by Megan Patrick, as well as the name of a catering company in Long Island, New York, and a restaurant in Charleston, South Carolina, but I digress. Grace and grit is a brilliant summary of the Christian faith. God's grace and our response of grit. And of course, part of the gospel is God's grit as well. So God's grace and grit and our response to that. The order is very important. Grace and grit. Grace comes first. We talk a lot at Christ Church about grace, because God's grace, God's one way, unconditional, never-ending love for you, that grace is the heart of the gospel. No grace, no gospel. Scripture is very clear that in Jesus Christ, God offers all of us that grace, grace upon grace, that by grace you have been saved, that in Jesus Christ, grace has appeared for all of us to bring salvation to all of us. And the reality is, all of us need grace every single day. No matter who you are, no matter what is going on in your life, you need grace. And you know this. And it's true with every person that you know or don't know. They all need grace every day, no matter what's going on in their lives, no matter who they are. They need grace. We all need God's grace all the time. And that's why here at Christ Church, we're about receiving God's grace and then sharing it with others, one another in the world. We receive God's grace primarily through word and sacrament, through the word of the gospel, the word of God's grace preached, and then through the sacraments of God's grace administered, God's one-way love, God's reminders every week that we are fully known, fully loved, fully forgiven. And in response to receiving that grace from God in word and sacrament, we share that grace with one another and the world in a myriad of ways as led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Grace and grit. Now, what is grit? What is grit? Well, I'm a fan of TED Talks. There are these little short lectures you can find online, TED Talks, about all sorts of different things. And in her brilliant 2013 TED Talk, University of Pennsylvania professor Angela Lee Duckworth talks about grit. And she shares what she and her academic team discovered after doing immense amounts of research in a variety of contexts, trying to figure out who succeeds and why. Listen to what Angela Lee Duckworth said about grit in her TED Talk. In all these very different contexts, one characteristic emerged as a significant predictor of success. It wasn't social intelligence. It wasn't good looks. It wasn't physical health. It wasn't IQ. It was grit. Grit is passion and perseverance for very long-term goals. Grit is having stamina. Grit is sticking with your future day in and day out. Not just for a week, not just for a month, but for years. Working really hard to make that future a reality. Grit is living life like it's a marathon, not a sprint. That's a brilliant observation that she shares with us. And it's good news. It's good news that for those of us who might not have a whole lot of social intelligence, good news for those of us who may not have good looks or whose physical health might be a little sketchy, it's good news for those of us whose IQ is nothing to brag about. When it comes to grit, you do not have to be a social butterfly. You don't have to be a supermodel. You don't have to be a CrossFit instructor or a member of Mensa International. Because grit has to do with something that goes way past all those things. Grit has to do with your heart. Grit begins in your heart. Passion and perseverance for very long-term goals begin in your heart. The grit required for running a marathon and not a sprint begins in your heart. And it impacts how you view everything that you do every single day. Later, after giving her TED Talk in 2016, Angela Lee Duckworth published a great book called Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance. And she really fleshes out in immense detail what she shared in her TED Talk. And in this book, she shares a parable that maybe you've heard of before. Three bricklayers are asked, "What are you doing?" The first bricklayer says, "I'm laying bricks." The second says, "I'm building a church." And the third says, "I'm building the house of God." The first bricklayer has a job. The second has a career. The third has a calling. And you see, grit begins in your heart. And it's a response to God's grace. And it's a reminder that metaphorically, as you lay in your bricks in your life one day after another, after another, after another, that by God's grace, you're actually part of building the house of God. It goes way past you. Perhaps you have heard of Spartan obstacle course races. They've become incredibly popular over the last several years, and they happen around the world. A Spartan obstacle course race is a standard road race distance, a 5K or a 10K or a half marathon, full marathon, but it's over particularly difficult terrain, and it's replete with really challenging obstacles, really fun obstacles, like crawling through mud under barbed wire, like scaling walls, climbing ropes, traversing swamps, carrying 100-pound cement spheres around, and other fun activities. Now, the founder of Spartan Races is a guy named Joe DeSena. And Joe DeSena himself has accomplished many superhuman feats. I could go on and on, but the one that he's most famous for, perhaps, is completing the 1,150-mile Alaskan Iditarod race through sometimes waist-deep snow and temperatures below 100 degrees below zero on foot. He did it on foot. You could say that Joe DeSena has grit. And Joe DeSena asserts that when it comes to having the grit to follow through on your commitments, you need to do three things. First, you need to go public with your commitment. You need to put yourself out there and go public with it. Tell others what commitment you've made. Second, you need to put yourself or put something on the line. And third, you have no escape plan. Now, lest you think this sermon is going to be some kind of motivational speech, remember that grace is first, followed by grit. That our grit is a response to God's grace. That the grit that begins in our hearts is a response to the grace that began in God's heart time immemorable before. Today's passage from Paul's letter to the Romans, we see very clearly God's grace and grit, his passion and perseverance for your long-term goal of salvation. Listen again to what Paul wrote. "While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We repeat that last part. God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the ultimate expression of God's grace. Of God's one way, unconditional, never-ending love for you. Jesus went public with his commitment to save you. as he told his disciples at the Last Supper, no one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And the very next day, Jesus did that publicly, executed among thieves near the dump outside of Jerusalem in the most public way and humiliating way imaginable. When it came to Jesus' commitment to save you, Jesus went beyond putting something on the line. He put himself on the line for you by allowing Roman soldiers to put him on a cross. When it comes to Jesus' commitment to save you, Jesus had no escape plan. Jesus showed immeasurable grace and immeasurable grit as he suffered and died for you and me on Good Friday. That is how God proved his love. God could not love you any more than God does. And it is this grace of God given us on Good Friday that began in God's heart time immeasurable before that can call out of our heart a grit to respond to that grace. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews tells it this way. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken a seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Again, we run the race with perseverance, a race that is indeed a marathon and not a sprint. And again, Jesus demonstrated unimaginable grit as he endured the cross, as he endured the hostility of sinners like you and me against himself directly. Not just against what he taught and preached, but against him personally. And in response to Jesus' grace and grit, God calls us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, the race that God has already laid out, and to develop grit and not lose heart. Grace and grit. Another person who has unbelievable grit is Mother Teresa. Lived from 1910 to 1997. Saint Mother Teresa now. She spent decades and decades ministering among the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India. In 1979, she was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. And in 2016, she was actually canonized as a saint in the Catholic Church. And written on the wall of the children's home in Calcutta, India, that she oversaw was a poem that she wrote called Anyway. Maybe you've heard this before, but this whole poem is all about grit. People are often unreasonable, irrational, self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. When you spend years creating, others could destroy it overnight. Create it anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous, but be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus did everything that Mother Teresa wrote about in that poem. When people were unreasonable, irrational, self-centered, Jesus forgave them anyway, and he still does. When Jesus' kindness was questioned and naysayers assumed he was simply currying favor with selfish, self-promotional motivation, he remained kind anyway, and he still is. Jesus dealt with both unfaithful friends and genuine enemies, but remained a faithful friend and loved his enemies anyway. And he still does. In response to the deceit of others, Jesus remained honest and sincere and still is. Jesus gave the best he had on Good Friday, gave his actual life, and although some still think his death is not enough, it still is. God's grace is enough. In laying down his life on the cross, Jesus was indeed building the church. Jesus was indeed building the house of God, and he still is. And you are part of that house of God. Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. Grace and grit. There it is. Today, may God's grace, God's one-way, unconditional, never-ending love for you, and God's grit, God's passion and perseverance for the very long-term goal of your eternal salvation, inspire grit in you so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Amen. See you next week.